I haven't gotten too much into that yet, but that's to be done over the next 2 or 3 days, so I can report back to you then when I do those.
Yeah, I'll be real honest. I was using iChat, but and it's very nice. But Carl was using something else. I forget what it was. And his way of thinking, it was simpler to use and as effective. So I don't know what the tooling difference is, but such is life. What I would like to do is simply just make sure that that it's easily configurable and has a decent amount of functionality, and specifically I'm looking at the idea of having the ability to do file transfers from inside IRC, because I seem to remember that would be that would be a real asset. The Putty family and VNC are the other two useful toys to have, and kind of go from there.
Oh yeah, and your other earlier comment brought to mind something I forgotten to write down, but it triggered my memory when you said ubiquity. So again, for folks on the net, one of the challenging aspects of setting up a broadband AMNET mesh over a wide area is the ability to actually connect, and rather than do everything by trial and error, which of course is the way we often do things, there are some tools now that are available at low cost to help do a little bit of planning and get some of the agony out of them. There's a company based in the United Kingdom that does microwave radio propagation simulations. They're called RF Cloud, and I don't know if Gordon's looked at them yet or any of the other testers in our group, but I ran a bunch of simulations earlier in the week with the notion that we put a particular type of ubiquity access point on the roof of a building in downtown Bergenfield at about 60 feet above ground level. And then I it had a 20 dBi gain antenna on it. And then I rotated the antenna in 15 degree increments, starting at the south and moving through the southwest to the west and then up to the north, and ran these simulations. And the output is generated on a Google Earth map. And a number of the things that come out of the simulation are simulated received signal strength at various distances, and because it accounts for the terrain between the transmitter and any of the potential receiving sites. So you get a quick at-a-glance picture of where you may be blocked by intervening ridges or hills, that sort of thing. And of course you can put different antenna patterns into the transmitter site as well, which gives you a lot of control over where you're sending the RF. So I've been playing around with those simulations. It's really a very interesting thing to do, and it gives us kind of a leg up on how we might deploy some of the more permanent nodes in a broadband hamnet if we choose to do that. Back to net.
Hi, Randy. I did get your file, but I'm having trouble with the aforementioned machine, so I'm going to go into another machine, download that email onto my desktop, which I normally don't put mail on, and go from there. It's definitely something I got to do, because number one, I want to really see that data. And number two, I think we'll have a lot of fun once we get that in line. But I thank you for doing that. That'll be just splendid. Alrighty. Anything else, Mr. Randy?
Oh, I think I'm pretty talked out. Again, if I've bored folks on that, I certainly apologize. But I hope at least some of this was of some use to the rest of the folks in the community. And again, I stand willing to assist anybody with any of these topics should the need arise. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to K2BAR.
Okie dokie, very good. And thank you very much. And we're going to test out those phones. Test out some Raspberry Pis, test out some netbooks. I've got one up and working. I'm going to download Chrome into it momentarily. I've got the obligatory latest version of Microsoft Internet Explorer, dutifully updated to include Google as my homepage, not Bing, and stripped out all the excess garbage I don't need. Anyway, you take care, and we'll chat with you later. And we want to thank you for your contributions tonight. Let's see, are there any other stations you'd like to check into the net tonight? I'm sorry, I did not get that call.
K9GTM.
Hey, K9GTM, W2TTT, K2BAR. What says, Sean?
Well, same old, just sitting here listening to the radio. Flipping through the channels on the TV.
Okay, well, we're more entertained than the TV. That's just a personal opinion. Alrighty, you have any question or comment or for sale or swap or water item?
Actually, maybe one. I was thinking about making you can buy them, but I was thinking about making my own just to see if I can do it an antenna using ladder wire for 2 meter 440.
Sure. Google J-Pole and try roll-up J-Pole. Cut up the 2 meters to work fine on 440.
Yeah, because I just bought a new Arrow J-Pole, and I'm waiting for my antenna mask that I just ordered to portable ops out in the movie. So.
Yeah, well, my son built with a bunch of guys built about half a dozen of those, actually about a dozen of those things across a year and a half, plus some copper ones, and they all worked very, very well. Some guys took them home for their own needs, and the majority of them went to the Red Cross. That's something to consider.
Yeah, the thing about them is, if you can't get out with your regular antenna, we should just roll it up in a tree. You know, in the middle of nowhere and get a little further out, you know.
That will work great. That'll absolutely work wonderfully.
And it's small, so you can roll them up and fit them in the pack of your cargo pocket, you know.
I put it in a Ziploc bag and put it in my pack, but yeah.
N2OEL disconnected.
Sorry, you know KTB is back up on the air now.
Hey, we missed a little bit of that. The echo link took you out. Alrighty, is there anything else we can do for you, Sean?
Nope, that's about it. Just checking in, saying hello.
Yeah, just I don't have it here. have to look around and see where that. There, I had some spare flat lead, and he just had like a 50-foot cord of let's say RG58, cut it in half, and use it as two different feed lines for two different J-pole roll-up J-poles. You're in good shape, okay?
Alright, thanks a lot.
Having that to be the best option for something small, you take a 50-foot piece of RG58 or 8X if you want to add a little extra weight, a little lower loss on 440, and you cut it right down the middle, and then you use that as two feed lines for roll-up J-poles. And it works great. All right, 7-3 to you, K9GTM. Dear me. My. Who else might have a question, K2BAR? Yeah, I do have one public service announcement tonight, and that is the upcoming Chestnut Ridge Radio Club annual meeting / champagne brunch will be Sunday, February 9th, at the 1776 house here in Bergen County, and you are all invited to participate. It's $32 a person, and includes tax tip gratuities, and as I say, the champagne to go with the rest of your brunch. And we would hope that you might consider coming, get to meet some of the guys face to face. It'll go from about 11 to 1, maybe 1:30 or so, and all will be just delightful, and hopefully you'll be able to come and join us for the enterprise of the meal. And let me know if you're interested, and simple email to W2TTT at DTT.net or ARRL.net. We'll get the job done. And if that doesn't work, if you hear K1JMI on the radio, you can ask Dick as well. But either one of us can point you in the direction of good time, good fellowship, and a great meal on Sunday, February 9th. So, any questions or comments for the net? All righty, well, I'm going to say 73 then, and wish everyone a fine good evening. And hope everybody stays warm and safe in this crazy temperature that we're having here. And again, thank you for a great night tonight. This is Gordon W2TTT for K2BAR, the voice of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. Thank you for your participation, and also thanking the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater. Take care and God bless. This is W2TTT.
UMP listening. Thank you. best thing to do is look for my email address on QRZ. You know, it's my old call at optonline.net, but if you look on QRZ, you'll see it. Then you can just send it to me there. I'd like to see the picture.
Okay, without giving the whole thing out, I pulled up the picture you sent me of the 733. I got Seawood 670. That would be the one I would use.
Yeah, that one will go right to my phone.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I'll write that down. I looked for that 733 on, where'd you find this, on QTH or QRZ?
QTH. It doesn't say Kenwood TM-733, it just says TM-733. Then in the description, he called it a TM-433, which was a typo. And it's listed with another radio, a Yaesu, an FT-90R, I think. If you look, when you go to QTH, since it was yesterday, look under either yesterday's pics, or, I mean, yesterday's ads, or just click on the, at the list, click on VHF, UHF transceivers, and it'll come up in that list. It'll look for TM-733 in the title description.
Yeah, I already did punch in TM-733, then I tried 733A, only came up with one that wasn't working right.
Yeah, when I park, I'll give you the guy's call sign. You can do a search on his call sign. You click on, I think, advanced or call sign in the search box. Underneath the search box, there's a couple of dots. One, I think, will say search by call sign. You click on that, and then you put in his call sign. It should come up. Unless he took the ad off, I did tell him to take that ad off.
That could be a possibility. That could be a possibility that he did. N1LU, KD2, VOR.
Oh, excuse me, I just sneezed. N1LU mobile. Now, he may not have taken the ad off. He might have just updated it and wrote TM-733 is sold. Because I told him, I'm not going to be able to get it till Monday. I didn't want him to think I was jerking him around, so I said, take the ad off. I'm definitely taking it. In fact, I just looked at MapQuest from work. It's about a two-hour drive to get up to where he is.
Yeah, very good. I looked at the radio on Universal. It looks to be a nice radio. I like the front of it, the faceplate. Looks like, almost looks like an ICOM, the way the microphone goes into the body and not into the faceplate.
Yeah, it looks like a nice radio. Guy sounds legit. I'm gonna meet him. I'll get to hear it on the air. So I'm psyched. I'm really psyched. I'm sticking with a Kenwood. Comes apart, and I didn't have to spend over $300. So, let's hope for the best.
Yeah, I'm gonna get rid of my 7800. I think I'm not gonna depart with my 79 because that's the newer radio. But there's a guy on QTH who's got a box for a 7800 for $15, but he doesn't have the styrofoam inside for it, so I don't think it's even worth buying that box. I'll just sell it without a box.
Yeah, sometimes you have no choice. Sometimes you don't have a box, so you've got to sell it like that. I don't think I have a box laying around. I'll look, but I don't think so. I think when I sold my 7800... I sold it with the box, which would have made sense. But they pop up every now and again.
Okay, I typed that email in. It looks like it went through, I think, so you should be getting it to your phone, the picture of the radio.
No, okay. I'll let you know. It should ding or something. Where is this guy located?
Kentucky. I looked him up before.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you really like those 635s. They're nice looking radios. I like yours when I come over the shop.
I'm really partial. I like my Yaesus, you know, the bulbs I got, but I like this feature of the true dual band. That's what turns me on to it. And the price for a new radio is not too bad. And, I looked up his call sign. His first name's Ralph, and he's 4J4G. I mean, AJ4G.
Okay, cool. Yeah, what I always do is I'll go into Google, and I'll type in the guy's call sign that I'm dealing with, and if anybody's had anything, any bad dealings with him, it'll usually show up in Google. I did that with this guy. Nothing really came up except, you know, clubs that he's affiliated with and stuff.
Well, first thing, I got the idea that he is pretty legit, because he did, when he got back to me yesterday, when I emailed him again about a picture, I said, sorry to be a pain, but I really would like to see a picture of the radio. I'm interested. And he apologized for it, just said he's been working a lot.
Yeah, nowadays you can't really, I mean, you can sell something without a picture, but I think it goes faster if somebody's got a picture to look at. I don't think I'd ever buy anything sight unseen.
Well, that was the first problem when I got somebody on the 208. He asked for a picture, and I had no way of putting a picture up. But that's here and gone now, so I'm not too much worried about that. Don bought a new ICOM radio yesterday, and if I'm not mistaken, it's ready for digital or D-Star or something like that.
Oh, okay. I guess it was an HT. Knowing Don, he seems to like HTs.
Nope, full-blown mobile. Bought it from Gigaparts. I told them it'll be coming Pony Express.
Wow. It's probably the cheaper of the ones that ICOM has is the 880H. Does that ring a bell?
You hit the nail right on the head.
I was looking at that. I saw a used one go for about... I think it was 289. New there, I think, close to 4. But I don't know much about D-Star, so I never bought it, but I'm looking forward to him getting it, telling me what he thinks about D-Star. I really don't know much about it. Give me a minute. Coming up to the mobile station, and let me grab a cup of coffee, and I'll be back in a minute. And 1LU, mobile.
82. VOR, listening.
Okay, here we go. KD2 VOR and 1LU mobile.
82 VOR, yeah, I turned my coins in yesterday. I didn't have as much in the can as I thought. But I did have $260 in quarters, nickels, dimes, and pennies, so that's my bad money for the 235.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Nothing came through on my phone. I guess you must have done something wrong. Should have come through by now.
Oh, well, I'm not too good at that, so I forwarded it. You know, I hit forward. I typed in that email. And, I don't know what I did wrong.
Well, if you hit forward, you shouldn't have had to type in the email. It should have been automatic. All you'd have to do is, attach the picture. Try it by just starting fresh and type that email in. And then click on, attach, and then attach the picture.
I'll tell you what would be easier. When you get to work, I'll give you the guy's call sign, because he put the picture up on QTH also.
Oh, okay, very good. You let him know you were interested?
Yeah, I emailed him back, and I want to know the shipping. That's why I think I just told you before. I want to know how much the shipping is with the box put into another box from the post office, and I guess that'll tell him enough that I'm interested.
Okay, cool. And where's that one going to go?
Either in my truck, like I was planning on with the other one, or I'm just going to use it at home where I got the 7800. I just like those dual band, I just like those two dual bands. And the price, like I said, is good.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. If I saw a 635 for that price, I probably would have jumped on that. Although I did want to try to stick with Kenwood. I'm going to try to slowly change everything over to Kenwood eventually.
I'd like to get a 220 for the shop, too. But Steve was telling me, he's got the larger of the antenna that I got, the design, and Steve said he's got the tram, I forget the number of it, but he said even though they said it's a dual band antenna, he had no problem transmitting 220 on that antenna.
Yeah, well, I guess most dual bands will go, you know, from 140 to 440 going through 220, but I don't know how efficient it is, and certainly don't know what the SWR would have been on it. I mean, you can, you know, transmit on anything for the most part, but you got to be careful of the SWR if you're going to be on it for any length of time. You want to make sure you have a pretty good SWR.
These days, I'm going to bring my hump mount in from my truck and hook it up in here. I still got that meter from you, and that'll do 220 if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure it does, but I'm going to check it.
Yeah, that Yaesu, I'm not sure it does either. It's a dual band meter, but I don't know if it'll cover 220. Sometimes you have to get, I know Diamond had one that did that. In fact, I had it on my 220 rig. When that stopped working, I sold the SWR bridge for 220. That was about $80 used. They're out there. Best thing to do is maybe if you can get Don to come down to your place, bring his analyzer. That analyzer does 220, and then you can see where you are on the 220 band with that antenna.
KD2VOR. Well, I can't see why the Yaesu meter would not do it, because the front of it says it covers 140 to 525 megahertz.
Well, yeah, if it says it like that, you would think it does cover it, so maybe it does. Hey, give it a shot. You could check it with your HD if you wanted to. I think 5 watts is enough to activate that meter.
If it wasn't so cold outside, I could just hook it up in my truck and check the 235 with my tri-band antenna, Diamond tri-band.
Yeah, well, you'll get an indication, too, when you hook up the radio. You key it up. I would key it up on low power to start with and key it into a repeater that you know you should get full scale and see if it comes back full scale.
And maybe today when I get done with my work, if it warms up enough out there. I actually had 13 degrees. I stayed over at Debbie's house last night. I think I told you yesterday. You might not have. They were doing curb-to-curb cleaning on my street from 4 p.m. to midnight last night. I would have never found a parking spot when I go home, so I stayed over her house.
KD2BOR N1LU mobile, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I know. I work with a guy who tells me how hard it is to find parking, especially after a snowstorm in his neighborhood. I'm very, very happy that I have a driveway and a garage. Nothing like coming out on a cold winter morning to a car that's in the garage. Even in the garage, it was cold, but not that cold. It was my car registered 36 degrees in the garage, so that's not bad.
36 degrees, that's still too cold. I tell you, I couldn't get warm yesterday at all. It was just cold. I had to heat up in this shop. I think my heater's finally started shutting down for a little while at about 10 o'clock.
Where's the blower for the heater? Is it a ceiling mounted or is it floor mounted?
No, they're ceiling mounted. when you walk in the door of my shop, the small brown door, that one's up. When you look all the way to the back of the shop, that's there. And then when you stand in the front of my radio, if you turn around and look to the front of the shop, that one on this side is blowing towards me.
Yeah, okay, very good. Yeah, you might do better with having one down low, because hot air tends to rise. So if you're starting at the ceiling, it tends to stay up there. If you have one on the floor, blowing out on the floor, it'll rise up and it'll try to warm up the whole place. Or maybe put a fan on, pointed at the ceiling, to try to push some of that hot air down.
I've got one right above my head where the radio is now, and I'm feeling the heat coming down from the ceiling.
Yeah, you've got a big shop. It probably takes a long time to warm that place up.
It's not bad when the temperature outside only goes down to like 40 or 30, but once we start going into the teens and when it's 4 degrees, it takes forever.
Geez, I ran out of bananas. I could sure use a banana today.
There was 2 bananas on the kitchen table at Debbie's house. I ate both of them before I fell asleep.
Ooh-wee, that's a heavy load in your stomach. I was trying to eat them before I went to bed because I know they're supposed to help you sleep, but they're just too heavy on me. So what I usually do, I'll have an egg, a couple of slices of toast, and a banana for my early morning snack here at work. Then at 8 o'clock, I have a yogurt with a teaspoon of cinnamon in it. That's my 8 o'clock in the morning snack. And then for lunch I have tuna fish with onions and usually an avocado, but I ran out of avocados. I've got to pick up an avocado. That's what I have when I'm on my diet.
By the way, the MC-68 came yesterday. It's immaculate.
Oh, okay, cool. You hooked it up?
He shipped it with no batteries, and I didn't go home last night, so I had no way of doing it. I'm going to take it with me today and get 2 batteries out of the refrigerator and put it on the 850 today.
Oh, okay. What does it take, double A's or a 9 volt?
2 double A's. He even showed, when he put the picture up of the mic, he even had the bottom cover off to show that everything that was inside was good and there was never any battery leakage or anything like that.
Oh, that's cool. You know, you have a monitor circuit on that radio, that 850. I believe if you plug in headphones, and I don't remember how to turn on the circuit, you can monitor your outbound audio. You know, I don't know if it's exactly what everybody else is going to hear, but it'll give you an indication how that MC-60 sounds.
I know how to work the monitor, but if I turn up the mic volume too high, I get a feedback as no headphones. But yeah, I do know how to use that. I've tried it down on the other band on AM just to get an idea what the audio was sounding like coming out of the radio.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, I look forward to being able to hear that MC-60 on that radio. This spring we got to get you set up. You got to talk to your landlord.
Very good. Hold on a second, Charlie. Do we have a breaking station in there? 82 VOR.
KB1 IFY. You don't need the batteries in that mic, Rocky. You'd use it without it. It might work fine.
Connected. KB1 IFY.
Yeah, good morning, Bill. Yeah, I know that, Bill. It's got a switch on the bottom of it that you can turn the amp on or off. So I would put the batteries in it to just make sure the amplification does work in the mic because I bought it used. So good morning to you, and I'll throw it over to Charlie. He can say hello to you. 82 VOR.
82 VOR, N1LU. Good morning, Bill. Good to hear you on. I guess you're working. Hey, Bill, do me a favor. Find out if the Stanford Club has a CERT class. I was thinking of taking one. You know, a CERT course. I hear Bill WI2LYP talk about it. Paul, another guy that we know, he just got certified. But see if they have a CERT course offered for the Stanford or the Norwalk Club. See what you can find out about that for me. I appreciate it. KB1IFYN1LU Mobile, Major Deegan.
Yeah, KB1IFY. Yeah, I mean, Don and I both belong to the CERT. It's through the city of Stanford. The president here, Pearlstein, he's kind of running it with Chris Munger in the city. Yeah, we were supposed to have the meeting on Tuesday for it. Yeah, there's definitely a CERT team that, and I'm not sure when the next class is going to be for the training on it, but get a hold of John Pearlstein, W2YRB, and ask him the details. I've been working all the crazy hours over here, and sometimes I can't get into place. I think I told you guys I lost 32 hours from one of my security jobs here. I'm doing an extra assignment tonight for one of the companies. I'm going to take the weekend off, and what I'm going to do is go up to the winter field day on Saturday, unless it snows. KB1IFY, I guess it goes over to Rocky, then it goes back to Charlie. Good evening, guys.
Charlie, I have a question for you. On the impedance on that microphone, what would I start using it on first, 50 or 500?
Does it say 50K and 500? It's probably 50K and 500, I think. I'm not sure. I think that radio is a low impedance. I think it would be 500. But check it in your manual. I'm not sure. And Bill, when it comes to you, do me a favor, text me that that guy's call sign that you just mentioned, because I have no way of remembering it right now. Just text it to my cell phone. I think you have my cell phone number, and that way I'll look him up on QRZ and send him out an email. Tell him who I am and what I'm interested in doing. KB1IFYN1LU Mobile.
All right, very good, KB1IFY. I should send you the info. Actually, he's the president of the Stanford Club there, Pearlstein there, right? He lives right behind me on Belltown Road over there, so he's right over there as far as that goes. But, I can do that also. I'm not sure, because Don and I really have to go. I know they got a drill on Saturday morning. They're doing something with Boy Scouts, but... the one at Stanford would be the closest one. We were like the second class that they had. I think they've had one or two other classes since. I have to find out when the next class is for you. So KB1IFY, over to you, Rock.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. 82BOR. Yeah, Charlie, I'm looking at the description on another guy's advertisement for a mic on QTH. He's saying dual impedance 50KU/500U.
Yeah, I don't know what the U is, but yeah, 50K is 50,000 ohms. That's a real high impedance. And then 500 ohms is the lower one.
So you're telling me to use it on 50 or 500 to try it out?
Probably 500, 500.
Oh, okay. All right, you pick it back up with Bill. I got to make a pit stop. KD2, be aware.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a... low impedance radio for the microphone. Bill, do you remember how long that course is? Is it one day or is it a couple of days? KB1IFY, N1LU Mobile, lower level GWB.
I forget how many weeks we went for. We went 4 or 6 weeks, and then they had a couple of training classes. But it was one night a week at the government center, and then they did a couple Saturdays, too. As I remember, I had a class I had to attend, and I had to get the field day late because of it.
Okay, I didn't realize it was that long. That's fine. 1 minute a week, I should be able to tolerate. Yeah, I think that might come in handy. You never know, especially if all hell breaks loose. It would be nice to be one of the people that are certified, get all the information firsthand.
All right, very good. Maybe I'll send you Chris Munger's information, because he's really the guy in charge of it. Pearlstein thinks he's in charge.
What are you doing, monitoring yourself on another HT? On an HT? Because I hear echo.
No, I'm on Echo Link. And I got the HT on in the background here.
Yeah, no, I knew you were on Echo Link. Yeah, I could tell you were listening to yourself in the background on the HT. I can hear it.
Yeah, I was going to get on last night. I couldn't turn my radio on because I was training a guy. I was at a different site with the other company last night. So I'm on here. I'm not going to stay here too long because I don't want to use up all my Wi-Fi. But actually, I'm on my 4G over here. But yeah, now I was listening for a little bit, and then I said, let me get in and say hello. And then, I know for a fact, I've actually got one of those mics, too. In fact, a guy sold me one on eBay, and he took the switch out of it and rewired the damn thing. I sent it back to him. He said, over there, it's ridiculous. I said, it's not factory, it's not stock. So then he took it back, and I got my money back on it. But that was something else. I've got one, and then I have another one, actually, the cable's missing. What I did was I bought a cable, and I bought the ends. I got to put the ends on the cable, and I'll probably end up selling that one.
KB1IFYN1LEU. Yeah, they're good microphones. I owned one. I had one on my Kenwood TS-430, and I was told it sounded very good. Never owned an MC50. That's usually for the 4-pin radios. I know the MC50 goes well with the hybrid rigs that Kenwood came out with, but you can wire up any mic for that for the most part. All right, let's see if Rocky's back. KD2BOR, N1LU mobile.
82BOR. Yeah, I'm back in my email again. I'm trying to see how to forward this to you. I'll be right back to you guys picking up.
Okay, like I said, the easiest thing to do would be just to start at a blank email, type in that email of mine, Seawood, whatever it was, at mail.com. I think it's at mail. I'm not sure. Type that in, then attach the picture to that email, and then send that to me.
You're funny, Charlie. I have never attached anything to anything.
Okay, something came through. I don't know if Bill sent me something or you did, but I see something in my mail.
Well, when you park, you can find out. Over to Bill, if you're still in there, over to you, KD2BOR.
Yeah, KB1IFYI. Let me get rid of this background here. Yeah, no, I was just checking to see, and I got a couple emails here, and then I had to go back and push the other button. All right, I got to do a tour anyway, so I'm going to say 73, Rocky, Charlie, and anyone else listening. You guys have a good night, and I'll catch you another time. My KB1IFY is going to be clear.
Let me see if I'm doubling. Okay, 73, Bill, good hearing you. Have a good day. Over to you, Rock.
Okay, Bill, have a good day. Good hearing you out there. We'll talk to you again. 82BOR.
Yeah, I got it. That was it. Looks nice. Got it leaning up against the box.
Yeah, what I forgot to do, Charlie, when I sent it the first time, I don't know if you got the first one or the second one. I didn't pull the picture up and then go to send it. When I did that, where I typed in your email, underneath that it said attached.
KB1IFY disconnected.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not sure if I got the first one or not, but it did come through. Nice looking radio. Looks like it's in real good shape. Too bad he didn't have it on, but that's cool.
Well, I'm looking at this. The way he's got the power cord wrapped up, that's the way it comes from the factory, with the same tie. The only thing he said he was missing the manual, and that's no big deal to me, the manual, because I've got two of them.
Yeah, okay, cool. And you're going to probably clone that one too, right?
Yes, sir. I would never try to manually put in a... well, I'll have to put them in manually. I might even, if I see a good deal on the software for these 35, since I'm going to have three of them, I might just buy the software for them.
Oh, you mean to program them with a computer?
Yeah, I could just program one radio, you know, add repeaters as I want to, and just clone the other two. I got the software for the 78 and 79. That's up on Debbie's computer.
I don't know if I asked you this before, but does the radio have to be on when you load frequencies in via the computer?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it does. I've never done the 78 and 79 yet. We loaded the disc, and I started setting up the page with the repeaters and the PLs and everything, but I have never used the software on the radio yet.
So how would you do that? You'd if the radio had to be on, obviously you got to hook it up to a power supply. If you don't have one, like with me, my computer's upstairs in a little cubby hole near the kitchen. I'd have to bring a power supply upstairs and hook up the radio. What would you do?
What would I do? I would probably bring home my memory saver that I have at the shop. It's a small box with a cigarette lighter plug or two alligator clips. I put that on a car when I'm changing a battery so I don't lose the memory in the computer, not the total memory, the drivability. And a lot of these radios, if you lose your battery power, your radio goes into a locked mode, and you got to have a code to turn it back on. A lot of the Hondas and Acuras are like that.
Yeah, my Honda's like that as well. I used to have to. I think I still have it in my wallet. I really should give it to my son, since he drives the car most of the time, all the time, just in case, you know, they ever do any work and he loses it. Memory saver, how much is that unit?
I don't remember what I paid for it. I've had it for many years. It's a very helpful tool. When I set up the IC20H to take a, I thought he took a picture of it. I just used that little memory pack, hooked it up to the power cord, and turned the radio on.
That's pretty cool. I guess you can't transmit on the radio, but it'll keep power to the radio.
Yeah, you could probably maybe transmit on low power for a brief time. You know, it doesn't have that many much reserve. It's just holding power to the battery, you know, to the stuff in the car. I have to charge it every once in a while.
Come to think of it, I have one of those little portable packs that you use for jumping the car and filling air in your tires. And that has a cigarette lighter plug on it. I could probably set up something to utilize that. That's easy to carry around.
1LU, KD2VOR. If I remember correctly, during Sandy, didn't you have your radio at the house hooked up to that? And you didn't want to transmit too long to run the battery down?
Yes, I did, actually. come to think of it, yeah, I don't remember which radio. But, yeah, because I've got a bunch of those heavy-duty accessory plugs, you know, that plugs into the accessory jack. It's got a little filter on it, two binding posts at the end. They're real nice. I get them from Radio Shack. I got a couple of them laying around the shop. That's what I'm going to probably set up this Kenwood with and then plug it into my wife's car. I'll try it on low power or medium power. It's 10 watts, I believe, for the Kenwood. Another 5, 10, and 50. Kind of wish it was 25, but I'll be happy with 10. And I might even be able to transmit on 50, just not for any length of time.
I've been leaving my THF-6 at Debbie's house now because I really don't have to carry it with me all the time. And she surprised me last night. She said when she got home, she goes, yeah, the other night when you were going home, I turned on your THF-6 and listened to you talking all the way home.
Yikes.
Yeah, when I left her house this morning, I set my cell phone alarm. I took the battery off the radio and brought it down here to charge it. And, but I forgot the other battery. Not that I say anything wrong. I don't care if she listens. Maybe she'll get the bug and want to take her tech test. You'll never know.
Yeah. You know, just in case you're looking for another radio. But anyway, give me a minute. I'm here at the CAT station. Let me fill up. I'll be back. 82 POR and 1 OU.
Okay, you're going to go fill up, and I'm going to go empty out, because in this cold weather, this kills me. It always has since I was a kid. 82 POR, I'll be back.
Roger.
I'll be right back, Jolly. I want to go start my truck. There's no way I can sit in it with this temperature.